The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, we're back on Get Up, and these guys don't know this is coming. Hey, Dan Orlovsky and Ryan Clark, we found these. These were your Madden photos in 2006, along with Damian Woody.
Oh, Dan.
Dan, did you not have a photo available? I mean, what happened to you there?
Why I look like J.J. Reddick?
R.C. and D. Wood look like people.
Hey, Madden, not all like white people look the same.
I don't
They do not.
R.C., what do we say about you? I don't know what to say. He looks like.
Why do
R.C., you got a thought here?
Hey, you know what? It just means that, Dan, you were just such an elusive person, such a mystery. They truly couldn't figure it out. And so they just went with that.
R.C., they got my agility the same as Damian Woody's. Woody, 330 pounds, bro.
Yes, hey, and you know who's upset about that?
Woody was super athletic, though. Woody was super athletic, though, bro. He's the first round pick.
We welcome you back on that thought to live to the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase. That's Jeremy Fowler. We didn't have a picture of him on Madden either. We are jam-packed this morning. Chrissy, let's roll it for hour number two. Here we come. It's time to get up with Not So Fast, My Friend. Just when it seemed over, word from Green Bay that could change everything. We'll start there. Then, how about them coaches? Dallas running it all back. I ask you, how in the actual heck does this make sense? We'll try and figure it out. And this is the week it all goes down. You need to hear from Woj on the trade that would upend absolutely everything, and you will, as we get up with you in this hour starting right now. And our first stop is Green Bay, at least for the moment. Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, whose every move will be dissected from now until something happens, turned a lot of heads when news surfaced that he purchased land in a suburb near Nashville, Tennessee, which fueled a lot of speculation, of course, that he could be going to the Titans. So then you had to have the Titans general manager John Robinson say this about his quarterback Ryan Tannehill. Quote, Ryan's a pro. He knows how much he means to us. Traded for that guy. Gave him an opportunity to start. New contract. I think it's pretty apparent where he stands with us. He's our quarterback. I don't know how many more times I got to say it. Well, respectfully, John, you got to say it at least one more time. Because, look, let's throw it open to the guys here. Here's my question. Look, Dan, this is not necessarily a commentary on how good or bad Ryan Tannehill is. Shouldn't everyone be kicking the tires on Aaron Rodgers? If there's a real possibility the contract is structured this way, everything else, we'll get Fowler's insight in a second. Look, I understand the way that it'll be perceived, but if you're Tennessee and you just watch that playoff game they just lost and you don't kick the tires on Aaron Rodgers, at least make a phone call, I'm not sure you're doing your job. What do you think?
Yeah, totally agree. So I think if you watch the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Buffalo Bills playoff game and you don't have a quarterback that you think can go face-to-face with a Josh Allen and or Patrick Mahomes, then you better figure something else out, because that's just the reality with how good those two guys are. Now, in relation to Aaron Rodgers, number one, I think he stays in Green Bay and should stay in Green Bay. I'd actually be shocked if he left. Number two, if he chooses to leave Green Bay, do not go anywhere near the AFC as a whole. The AFC is a death sentence for quarterbacks. To get to the Super Bowl, you got to go through Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert. Those are just the five guys that you got to go through, let alone where some other situations could be. So I think Aaron's going to understand, if I really want to go and get back to the Super Bowl, it's not just how good I think my team is. It's also looking at the landscape of who I have to go through. And if we think about 2 years ago with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going all in and making it, and then this past offseason, the Rams going all in and making it, I think the Green Bay Packers need to do the same thing. Brian Gutekunst, their general manager, you've done an awesome job, dude, of like building for the future. Great. It is time. It is time to sacrifice a little bit of the future for the right now. Get Aaron Rodgers to stay and sacrifice some of those picks and or pieces of the future to go get some stuff stuff to go make your final run for the Super Bowl now.
RC?
Well, so on Tennessee, I got to interview Taylor Lewan on the pivot with Channing and Fred Taylor, and I asked him a question. I said, after watching what Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes did against one another, do you ever look at those guys and say, I want one of those? Mm-hmm. And so if you're Tennessee at this moment where it doesn't seem very possible to get Aaron Rodgers, hell no, nah, you don't want it. You know what I'm saying? Like Greeny, when you're driving around in your Benz, which I'm sure costs $100,000, when you're driving around in that and you're like, I don't want a Rolls Royce at this time. But if the people from Rolls Royce came to you and were like, hey, Greeny, if you give us the Benz and you also give us your kids' cars, we'll give you the Rolls Royce and the driver, you'll start to think about it because you'll feel like it's a possibility. And so I think that's where the Tennessee Titans are. Right now, it can't happen, so we'll rock with Ryan Tannehill. And as far as Aaron Rodgers, I'm not doing this with Aaron Rodgers again this year. I'm not following him around in every piece of land that he buys. I'm not going to the jungle with him to hang out with jungle cats and the girl from Divergent. I'm not doing any of those things this offseason. All I'm going to do this offseason is listen to Aaron Rodgers, listen to the Green Bay Packers, and see where they stand. Where they stand right now is that Aaron Rodgers has some options depending on what he wants to do, and the Green Bay Packers are saying they want him. So for now, Aaron Rodgers is the Green Bay Packer, and we will see how I feel about it next week.
Yeah, the jungle, by the way, I think was Hawaii with Miles Teller and Shailene Woodley.
Divergent is a great movie, by the way. Great movie.
So Fowler, look, what? So you got? I didn't read you the quotes in there, but I mean, the Packers are saying they want to keep him. We get it. Right. The contract is there. He's got to make a decision what he wants, and they got to figure out how to make it work. Where are we with this?
Yeah, because nobody wants to go through that. I know I don't. Aaron Rodgers doesn't even want to go through that.
Yes, I do. I have a lot of space to fill in the next couple of months. I'm delighted to go through it. But either way, go ahead.
Yeah, but I know the Packers feel like Rodgers is committed to keeping this nice and tidy, not drawing it out throughout the offseason. The Packers don't want that. They've been adamant publicly and privately that they want Rodgers back. They've been firm with that, and they're just sort of keeping the same strategy as last year. They're waiting on him. We're sitting back. Hey, we're here. We're supportive. We want you. And then when you're ready to make a decision, you come. Now, he could always either request a trade or retire. Then the phones will be ringing off the hook. I've talked to league execs that think like at least 6 to 8 teams would at the very least put in a call. But right now it seems to be there's momentum for him staying, and they would have to address his contract.
Who just buys land in Tennessee? I ask you.
Well,
I mean, you don't just Rex buy
Ryan
land.
Yeah.
RC, what?
Rex Ryan lives there. Rex Ryan lives there. He's rich, right? Aaron Rodgers is rich, so he bought some land there. I'm sure there's some other rich white guy that bought some land there. Listen, it's Nashville.
He said rich white guy.
It's a great place. They got all kind of music. They got food.
It's
an excellent place to be.
RC, if I was rich, I would buy land in Nashville because I love Nashville. I just don't have the finances.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Listen, you about to get your deals up.
Rex Ryan. Well, we're airing a lot today. And let's just do our tape to tape and move on before we all get ourselves in trouble. All right, the game is called What If.
Oh, man.
We're looking ahead to the Super Bowl. RC, what if Joe Burrow wins the Super Bowl in just his second season?
If Joe Burrow wins the Super Bowl in just his second season, he has now surpassed Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson's on the quarterback list. He becomes the elite of the elite. He's in the conversation with the Mahomes and the Rodgers and all of those guys. We've seen the play, but it's also been added to the winning, and you'll add the clutch, but when you add the trophy, it's more than anything else that we see throughout the regular season. Yep. It becomes the elite Joe Burrow.
Man, it's really his first full year. Dan, what if OBJ wins the Super Bowl MVP?
I think he becomes the most coveted offensive free agent in football next year. Now, Packers fans, relax. I know you're going to say Devontae Adams. I think he's going to be tagged in Green Bay, okay? The question for Odell is production, right? Because everyone questioned, could he do that? It's not volume. He's got 7 catches in the red zone, 5 of them for touchdowns. He's got 14 catches on third down. He is back to being an elite wide receiver in L.A.
And then, RC, what if Matthew Stafford doesn't deliver in the Super Bowl?
First, I'm going to go to Dan's house, probably sleep over, make sure that he's cool, much like Ripley had to sleep with Newt on Aliens to make sure she wasn't eaten throughout the night. I just want to make sure you guys know that. But secondly, then, that means they're right where they were with Jared Goff. That means that even going all in, going out and getting this super talented quarterback, you didn't take that one notch up or level up that one notch that you thought you could with Matthew Stafford. And it will make you question where you are as a team for the Los Angeles Rams. If we couldn't do it going all in, if we couldn't do it getting the Cincinnati Bengals, can we ever do it? And if we can never do it, was it worth it?
By the way, Danny, happy birthday to Matthew Stafford. He's 34 years old today. Go.
No, don't. One, he does not like being wished happy birthday. He don't like to hear happy birthday. He doesn't like to hear Merry Christmas. He just doesn't like people saying nice things to his face or complimentary things.
A Grinch?
Now, second of all, I hate this topic. Yeah, he's a Grinch. I hate this topic, but RC, if it does happen and you do have to sleep over, pancakes or waffles?
We're going waffles.
That's a very disappointing carb choice. Let me. But all kidding aside, the Stafford of it all. And RC, we had this this debate here on this show on Friday, so he knows where I stand, and yeah, we can do this as we go along. I am not one of these people who is going to sit here and say that this season is a failure if the Rams lose in the Super.
It
I guess if they lose 46 to nothing, then we can revisit the topic. But assuming it's a reasonable game and they lose, there are 30 teams in the NFL that would love to be where they are. And I said this, RC, to you on Friday, and I'll say it again respectfully. You say that like a man who played on a lot of really good teams. I'm a man who roots for a team that generally is always bad. The idea of getting to the Super Bowl and falling short to me is not a failure. Yeah. Dan, why are you shaking your head?
Because I agree with RC. This would be a failure of a season if the Los Angeles Rams do not win the Super Bowl. We went through this whole offseason. When the trade happened, we said they are going to chase the Super Bowl. And then we went into the season. Yep. We said, who's under the most pressure? And we said, Matthew Stafford. And we said, Sean McVay. And all that's happened since those moves were the Rams are really, really good. They went and got Odell Beckham. They went and got Von Miller. I mean, this team has been constructed to sacrifice the future when it comes to first-round picks to go win a Super Bowl. This wasn't to go build a good football team. This wasn't to go get there. If Matthew Stafford is unable to go get it done, it will be the biggest disappointment of his career. And it will also this, and I love him. I absolutely love him. It will make us start to question some stuff about Sean McVay. This would be the second time that he would get to the Super Bowl and couldn't find a way to get it done with the guy that I believe is a Hall of Famer in Matthew Stafford if he wins the Super Bowl. So, like, Greeny, this is not a conversation. You do not play in the NFL, and you are not part of NFL teams to go be good. RC can speak to it way greater than I can. You go to win championships. No one remembers second place. It does not matter. Yep. The Rams have to go win the Super Bowl.
We're going to debate this a little bit further, not only the rest of today, but as we go further, very quickly on the Rams. I mean, is this their window, or is this a team that's coming back together next year with another shot at this thing, Fowler?
As long as they have Matthew Stafford, they got a chance. But their window's closing a little bit. They got about seven starters that are going out in free agency. They have negative $8 million in cap space. Odell Beckham, Von Miller could be gone. They're going to try to re-sign those guys, but hardly a slam dunk. I mean, they got, I would say, four or five coaches that could leave. Kevin O'Connell's going to the Vikings. He could take people with him. I've heard of some other jobs that could be taken elsewhere. So Sean McVay's going to have a talent drain that he has to address this offseason.
All right, and we have to address Orlovsky. Are you not going to be there in L.A. on Sunday with Matthew? I mean, I'm envisioning you, like, on the field running into his arms when they win the thing. You know,
he's going to be the one that runs up to him, shut up, RC, and wraps his legs around. You know how his wife was wrapped around him in the championship? That's going to be Dan's legs.
That's the shot we all want to see. Hey,
Dan running up and jumping into the waiting arms of a victorious
Matthew Stafford.
In a bomber jacket. Yep.
They finally did it. Okay.
This is the last Monday I'm doing with you guys.
Coming up, how about them coaches? Dallas running it all back. I ask you, how in the world does this make sense? We'll try and figure it out. Plus, should the Seahawks be running it back with Russell? One of his teammates has a lot to say, or former teammates. You need to hear this crazy stuff going on in Seattle. We got it all for you as we roll on. Get up on ESPN.
Don't
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Malika Andrews, host of NBA Today, and on Thursday, February 10th, tune into our NBA trade deadline special from 1 to 4 Eastern. We're going to have all the Woj bombs, including our top NBA analysts, with insight on all trades around the league. So catch NBA Today on February 10th from 1 to 4 Eastern on ESPN.
All right, it's going to be a fun week in the NBA. And then to the NFL, Pro Bowl yesterday, Russell Wilson threw 2 interceptions in that game, for what that's worth, which isn't much. But Wilson has 2 years left on his contract in Seattle. But so many questions about his future. They existed last offseason. They do again. I want you to hear what his former teammate Richard Sherman said about the whole let Russ cook.
The identity of a Pete Carroll and a championship team, as it always has been, is run the ball, limit the turnovers, play solid defense with their formula. And people were like, let Russ cook. You did not win a Super Bowl letting Russ cook. You have not been anywhere close to a Super Bowl letting Russ cook. You will not be close to a Super Bowl if you let him throw it 30, 40 times a game.
Yes, of course. So that's let Russ cook is how we meant to say that. And so we hear that, you know, whatever. So the point of it is this. We were talking about this earlier, and it does feel to me, as we sort of assess where Russell Wilson is right now in his career, there was a moment in time, Dan, I think it was Dominique Foxworth who brought this up on this show first. There was a moment in time when it felt like Russell Wilson was trending toward becoming the face of the league. Like he was going to be the next superstar quarterback after the Rodgers-Brady era. And then sort of from nowhere came Mahomes and all these other young players that have surpassed him in that regard. And he is sitting in whatever place he is right now. So what place is that? And is the best place for Russell Wilson now to remain in Seattle or to find a new home?
Russell Wilson is still a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. He has never, or he didn't ascend into that top 2, top 3 spot. But quarterback always has been and always will be a dependent position. And what happened in Seattle was they didn't fall off because they let Russ cook, respectfully to Richard. They fell off because they drafted really bad and they didn't have a good football team around him. That's why they didn't get to the Super Bowl. I still believe that Russell Wilson is a team-changing quarterback. I was asked on the Michael K. radio show a couple months ago, Greeny, if you were the New York Giants, would you give up 2 of those early picks for Russell Wilson? And my initial reaction was like, no, I wouldn't, because he has not played up to his standard over the last 2 years. He hasn't been great. He's also thrown for 65 touchdowns and 19 picks. That's been bad. And I think the way I'll answer this question is with another question. And RC, you could take it from me and for the people at home. If Russell Wilson goes to the Cleveland Browns, are we putting them into the top conversation of teams in the AFC? If Russell Wilson goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, are we putting them as legitimate Super Bowl contenders? If Russell Wilson goes to the Tennessee Titans, are we putting them as legitimate Super Bowl contenders? And I think that answer is yes. And I think that is the value of Russell Wilson. He can take a team that has the necessary dependent parts around him and elevate them into the Super Bowl contending conversation.
RC, you agree with that?
I think when you I think when you go with some of those names, like if you go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, to me that makes total sense because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a contending team that have a championship pedigree. Even the Cleveland Browns, a team we felt like was right on the cusp, because we look at Russell Wilson as a significant upgrade over Baker Mayfield. And that's not necessarily a Russell Wilson thing. That's a Baker Mayfield thing. I think the team that I used yesterday when I was talking to Benabib was the Minnesota Vikings, right? The Minnesota Vikings are a team, are a team that is right on the cusp of being a playoff team. They're an average football team. They have two really good number one receivers, and they're okay on defense. If we trade out Russell Wilson for Kirk Cousins, do we feel like that makes that team a Super Bowl good contender? One, and when I look at those teams, I go, not really. Now, is he an upgrade over Kirk Cousins? Absolutely. But is he that much better? Is he an Aaron Rodgers over Kirk Cousins? Is he a Tom Brady over Kirk Cousins? Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, all of those guys? I don't believe so. To put Russ in the top 10 makes sense to me, but we're not discussing him in the top 10. And we weren't talking about him ascending into the top 10 3 years ago. We were talking about him taking the mantle from Brady and Rodgers. And what happened was Brady and Rodgers continued to hold that mantle until now. And now the other guys have surpassed him as well. So he doesn't change organizations the way that other people do, but it doesn't mean that he is an upgrade over some of these quarterbacks in the league.
Super quick, RC, your team. Is he a fit in Pittsburgh?
He's a fit in Pittsburgh. I would love Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh. I take him in Pittsburgh over Jimmy Garoppolo because I do believe the level he provides over Jimmy is much higher than it is in some of these other places and some of these other teams.
Yeah, to be clear, he says that because we had brought up Garoppolo to Pittsburgh a little bit earlier. So, yes. Jeremy, let me come to you. At the end of the day, is he, last offseason, it felt clearly like he wanted out. His agent gave a list of four teams, everything else. What do we think now?
Well, I checked with two people inside the organization before this show, and I was told that they would be surprised if Russell Wilson is dealt at this point. They feel like Wilson and the Seahawks are in a better place relationally. They know that they can contend in the NFC next year. They feel good about where he's at. So it might take Russell Wilson actually having to push the envelope and say, hey, I want out. They don't expect him to do that at this point, but he does want input. He wants upgrades. Orlovsky said they drafted poorly.
Yeah.
Maybe haven't gotten the best personnel. Russell would like to see some of that improve. And if they don't, maybe he'll push the envelope. But right now, they're in a place where they can coexist.
Right, they traded their first-round pick this year to the Jets for Jamal Adams. Go ahead, Dan, final word.
I do not believe that the Rams can contend in the NFC next year. They have drafted so poorly for five over the last 6 years. I would say this. I do believe that Minnesota, especially if Aaron Rodgers is not in Green Bay, would become an NFC Championship Super Bowl contender. I'd also say this, and I think the Eagles should stay with Jalen Hurts, but if the Eagles got Russell Wilson, I think that puts them in the conversation to win their division and Super Bowl contenders.
I mean, just look at the numbers on the bottom of your screen. That was
a bad year
for Russell Wilson, and he got hurt.
He's a good player.
And so you see the yardage isn't a lot, but he missed so many games because he had the injury there. But 65% completion, 25-6. I mean, those are numbers a lot of people would take. All right, as we continue here in a moment, Mike McCarthy and his shadows. What is happening in Jerry's world? Is running it back with the current coach is a huge mistake? We'll talk about it. Plus, trade deadline approaching in the NBA. Could James Harden wind up in Philly this week? You'll hear what Woj has to say in just a moment. And then, RC, here we go. This is a good one from your main man, Sneaky Hembo. Who is the youngest head coach ever to win the Super Bowl? That's the question. The answer is next. You are watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Get Up. We are presented by T-Mobile. And here we go. Sneaky Hembo time for Ryan Clark. This is a great one. RC, who is the youngest head coach to win the Super Bowl?
Mike Tomlin.
That is correct. And you were on the team when he did it. Tomlin,
yeah, 40. I don't know.
What? Was that too obvious? Are you suggesting it was too obvious? He was 36 years old in Super Bowl 43. Arcee, I can't
Himbo,
hear you.
What was Himbo thinking, yo? What was Himbo thinking?
He wanted to make Graziano feel bad by giving you an easy question. I don't know what it was. Sean McVay, by the way, is a younger 36, so he would break that record if he winds up winning the Super Bowl this year. All right, well done. Meanwhile, Jeremy, let's run the hurry up here through some of the other NFL news, and it begins with what happened in Las Vegas yesterday and Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, Greeny, Kamara played in the Pro Bowl last night after he was arrested on a battery charge that he faces from an incident at a Las Vegas nightclub. Mm. So he was detained. There is a bail set. Kamara is faces charges right now for battery. So we'll see how that shakes out. There is no response yet from the Saints or from Kamara's representative. Okay. Certainly a story to watch. Now let's segue over to some coaching news. We got Houston Texans. They pulled a fast one because everybody in the league thought it was going to be Josh McCown. Maybe not so fast. Lovie Smith is talking to the Texans about potentially joining them as head coach, according to Adam Schefter and Field Yates. And from what I'm hearing, over the weekend things started to change because McCown was believed to be the guy. The Texans started telling some other candidates, such as Eagles defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon, they were out, but they have pivoted to Smith. Now, Smith and McCown are tight. That maybe is a connection to watch down the road. Maybe McCown can join the staff. And we got the Miami Dolphins have their man, Mike McDaniel. I'm told that McDaniel sold a very compelling plan to the Dolphins, that he has creative game plans that will maximize Tua Tagovailoa at quarterback, help him make the jump in his third year. He's well connected with his former players and coaches. When the Dolphins did their due diligence on McDaniel, they found out that everybody respected and loved working with them, and that's what they needed. Really, they want to be able to have somebody they can build around and have good connection with GM Chris Greer. They work together well. They already have good young pieces on defense. I'm told McDaniel is very sold on those. His task will be changing the offense.
And so Shefty, after breaking that story yesterday of the hiring of McDaniel in Miami, followed up by saying, so the Dallas Cowboys now get to keep both their coordinators, the OC Kellen Moore and the DC Dan Quinn, which basically means they're just running it back. And, you know, it was Einstein who said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and hoping to get a different result. So, Dan Orlovsky, is that what the Cowboys are doing here? They're trying to bring back the same thing that ended, I know it feels like some time ago, in extraordinary disappointment.
Yes, and I assume that Jerry Jones believes that Mike McCarthy in his 17th season as a head coach is going to become better than he was in his first 16 seasons. That's what it seems like, because the thing that Mike McCarthy that, you know, a lot of people talked about and Ryan talked about it really at the start of the season was going to hold him back essentially was a huge talking point in what held this football team back. Mike McCarthy will have more pressure on him than anybody in the NFL this season. He's already the Dallas Cowboys head coach. Now he's the Dallas Cowboys head coach that has the expectations of being in the Super Bowl next year. And this is a team that won 12 games last year, and the expectation will be that they will be a better football team. Now, I think that there's going to be some things that they have to fix. They've got to fix their offensive line. It got old and bad really quickly. They got to make a decision if they're going to keep or cut Amari Cooper. If Michael Gallup is going to be healthy from his ACL, I would not be shocked if they moved on from Amari Cooper. They've got to find a way to financially keep Dalton Schultz, who became really their primary tight end this year. They've got to have a playmaker at the safety position. They got to find a way to keep Randy Gregory. So this isn't just a football team that, oh, we're bringing back the same coaches, we're going to plug and play them. They've got some issues that they're going to have to fix, but there will be no more person in the NFL that has pressure on him greater than Mike McCarthy.
I think that's right. I think there was an element of that this past year, RC, and it couldn't have gone worse. So while sometimes we think of the high-profile, flamboyant owners as being impetuous, and maybe you want to give Jerry Jones credit for not being so and being patient, in this case, I think there are a lot of people saying that might not be the right path with the way this went. What do you say, RC?
Yeah, I don't think that he should have been patient. And in listening to Dan speak a little bit, though, a thought came to my mind because I was wondering, why is Jerry Jones so excited to keep his coordinators? And then a thought occurred. It's because Mike McCarthy might not make it through next year. I believe there are going to be some checks and balances on Mike McCarthy as this season progresses. And the one thing – that Jerry Jones can be excited about is if Mike McCarthy has to move on, or if they have to move on from Mike McCarthy, is knowing that you have a Kellen Moore in the building, knowing that you have a Dan Quinn in the building. And it's not necessarily about getting to Sean Payton. It's about being able to move on right away before things reach a point of no return. And if you're Mike McCarthy, that pressure only heightens because those two men are still in the building. When you look at his coordinators and you think about Bones Fossil, Kellen Moore, Dan Quinn, all of those people, at least at this point, are more highly respected as coaches than Mike McCarthy is. And so if you're in the building and you understand that you have to perform each and every week or you could be out, that's an amount of pressure that no coach usually performs well under. So if Mike McCarthy doesn't change some things, I think he could be out sooner than later.
That's a really interesting way of looking at it, and I like it. Dan, real quick thought, and then we'll get Jeremy in here. Go ahead, Danny.
Well, I think it's important for everybody to understand at home, the division title will not be good enough. It will not be good enough. Yeah. This is a team that has a $140 million quarterback, $100 million receiver, a $90 million tailback, another wide receiver who's the number one pick, two Hall of Famers on the offensive line. They've got a $100 million defensive end. They got the defensive rookie of the year, Micah Parsons, and a defensive player of the year type of player in Trayvon Diggs. The division title ain't good enough.
What do you think here of all this, Jeremy?
Yeah. I'll hit on both of their points because Orlovsky was talking about the roster. Amari Cooper, $20 million salary this year. I think he would have some trade value, still a probably top 15 receiver, so not at that number, though. So something has to give. Ezekiel Elliott, $30 million in dead money on his deal. They pretty much have to keep him, work something out. Maybe they restructure his contract. Randy Gregory is a beast, so they want to keep him. We're talking $15 to $20 million a year for the pass rush market. It's going to be tough. Dalton Schultz, tough to keep. This is a team that's swimming under the salary cap because of Dak Prescott's contract. Huh. And with RC, with the coaches, Dan Quinn was like supposed to be the hottest candidate in the coaching cycle and quickly informed teams that he was going back to the Cowboys. Kellen Moore, finalist for multiple jobs. These are very attractive candidates you have in-house, even though I know the Cowboys, we like to rail on McCarthy. Six-win improvement year over. The Cowboys were generally happy with that despite some of the missteps.
Yeah, I mean, one could pick that apart about how much of that came inside the division, and obviously Dak missed almost all of the previous season. This is not a story that's going away anytime soon. We'll come back to it as we go. Meantime, there's a big story going on right now in the NBA, and it's the Nets, and it's awful. Kyrie Irving and Brooklyn in Denver taking on the Nuggets. No James Harden. He was sitting it out. The Nets had lost seven straight coming in. Here's Kyrie knocking down a three early, and the Nets are right in this game. We're still in the first, though, and the Nuggets are going inside for Jokic, who had another triple-double on this night. They would take a four-point lead. Back and forth it goes here. That's Kyrie in the corner. He had 27 and 11 assists. Nets up by five there. Now we're still, look at Kyrie here. It's just spectacular getting to the hole. Nets extending their lead. These teams are combined for 151 points in the first half, most of any game in the NBA this year. But the second half would belong to Denver. That's Jokic going to the hole there. Their lead is six. Now they're continuing to extend it. Jokic would finish with 27 points, 12 rebounds, and 10 assists, his 14th triple-double of the year. Taking it inside, show me more from him. It is the Nuggets who hand Brooklyn their eighth straight loss. Meanwhile, here was Woj earlier on the possibility of a James Harden trade.
It can happen, trade deadline week, and when you've lost eight games in a row, when a player like James Harden is maybe not inspiring the confidence, you know, perhaps you are willing to listen to a massive offer from Philly. But right now, there's no indications that that's going to happen. And Philly has yet to call Brooklyn back. They may just wait till the offseason and pursue James Harden then, when he can either be a free agent, or they could then discuss a sign and trade deal because he has a year left on his deal that he could opt into.
All right, that was Woj earlier. Meanwhile, this show got a whole lot bigger now as we get Big Perk is in conversation here with us. Big Perk, obviously, Brooklyn, they've lost eight straight games, and yet Las Vegas considers them the favorite to win the championship. It's the ultimate dichotomy. Obviously, they're an extremely unusual circumstance. Should they be considering trading James Harden before Thursday?
They should, and it should be for Ben Simmons. And if I'm James Harden, I want out as well, Greeny. Look, James Harden gave up everything he built in Houston. I know he didn't win the championship, but he had built a lot down here. To go to Brooklyn to do what? to win a championship. And now he has to deal with so much other than basketball. Is Kyrie Irving going to play? Is he going to get vaccinated? He didn't sign up for this. If I'm James Harden, I'm frustrated. I'm ready to get the hell out because I came here for one reason and one reason only. And if I'm Brooklyn, I don't know what's going to happen with James Harden this offseason. So if I lose him for nothing, if I have a chance of losing him for nothing, yes, I do listen to trade offers, especially for a guy like Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons would actually fit well with a Kevin Durant and a part-time Kyrie. Hopefully they could get him full-time.
Yeah, I brought this up on NBA Countdown in December. I actually think that trade, the players involved would fit better in their new spaces. I think Harden would fit better in Philly and Simmons would fit better in Brooklyn. If that trade were to happen, and again, I should point out, Woj told us it is not the expectation that it will. But should it happen, which of those teams then becomes, in your mind, the favorite to win the Eastern Conference? Philly with Harden or Brooklyn with Simmons?
Look, Greeny, it's a no-brainer. The Eastern Conference would be dead bird tall grass if Joel Embiid and James Harden partnered up. If those two combined, they would win the East hands down, especially the way the big Philly is playing right now. Look, he's looking like eye candy. If you're another superstar and you're on a bad team or you're in a bad situation and you're looking at Philadelphia, you're saying, you know what? I want to go hoop with that big fella. He's leading the league in scoring. He can rebound. He's very skilled. James Harden and Joel Embiid would definitely be coming out of the Eastern Conference together.
Right now, Embiid, I think, is the leading candidate, in my view anyway, for MVP of the league, and we'll see what happens. I'll point out one more time. The big three, if you will, in Brooklyn have played 32 minutes together this season, total, combined. One more for you quickly. We had the Lakers on Saturday night on ABC, and they beat the Knicks in overtime in a game in which Russell Westbrook really struggled and got booed. What is your sense of all of that? The Westbrook situation in L.A., trade deadline is Thursday. How does that all fall together?
Well, Greeny, they can't trade him because, you know, Russ makes too much money. Mm-hmm. So Frank Vogel got to handle the situation like he did. And that's if Russell Westbrook is not producing, then he has to go to another option. I tweeted this out and I meant this. Right now, it's Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Malik Monk. Malik Monk is actually the Lakers' third best scoring option right now. He's actually slid into the conversation of actually being a big three. So if Russ is not producing, Frank Vogel actually made the right and the bold move by benching him in OT. It's on Russell Westbrook to respond like a professional and come back and play better.
All right, very well said. And let me just say to you, as it will, carry on to the big fella, Kendrick Perkins. And we will see you a little bit later. Meanwhile, we got great games coming up on Wednesday night. Our doubleheader on ESPN and the app. Oh, how about this one? Chicago, Charlotte. You got DeRozan. You got LaMelo at 7:30 Eastern. Then out west for two of the best. You got Steph and Clay and the Warriors taking on Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz. Should be a really interesting night on Wednesday, the night before the trade deadline. We'll be with you starting 7 Eastern for NBA Countdown. Meanwhile, coming up, the Super Bowl is 6 days away. We're asking our crew, who has the edge heading into the biggest game of the year? They'll give us the answers right after this. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
You are watching Get Up, presented by T-Mobile.
On February 4th, 2007, Tony Dungy and Lovie Smith became the first African-American head coaches to coach in the Super Bowl, with Dungy's Colts taking on Lovey's Bears. In a game which also featured a legendary halftime performance by Prince, Peyton Manning led the Colts to a 29-17 victory, winning the Colts' first title in 36 years.
We roll along here on Get Up. It is Super Week. Let's see which team has the edge. Dan, I'm starting with you, and I'm starting with the quarterbacks. Which team has the advantage at QB, Bengals or Rams?
Ooh. I'm going to say the Rams. Number one, I think Matthew can make throws on the field that Joe Burrow can't physically. I think number two, he's got a more complementary 10 other pieces, specifically his offensive line is significantly better. And then three, Matthew's been there in big moments late in football games and for the great majority of his career, and at least half the time has risen up to meet that.
I would argue that Joe Burrow has played more big games than Matthew Stafford has, but we can talk more about it as we go. RC, which team has the edge on defense?
This is very difficult, but I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals. Because of the way that they can be multiple defensively, they can rush you with four. They can also blitz and cover zero or show blitz and drop out into zone. And we saw them do so many different things against the Kansas City Chiefs in the second half, and they did them all well.
And then, Dan, back to you. Which team has the edge as far as offensive weapons?
I'm going to say the Cincinnati Bengals. And candidly, this was a very difficult decision. I went Rams first and then back to the Bengals. It's C.J. Uzomah, their tight end plays. I think it's them because of Ja'Marr Chase, because of T. Higgins, because of Tyler Boyd, because of Joe Mixon, and again, because of C.J. Uzomah. Yeah. I just think it's a really good five-piece set that they could throw at defenses, and then Ja'Marr Chase is already a top-five receiver in the league.
No question about it. In the meantime, you mentioned the Rams. They have their share of weapons as well, and one of them is Odell Beckham Jr., and he was talking about playing in his first Super Bowl. Here's what OBJ said.
It's been tough. It's been a rough since 2017, you know, shattering your ankle, busting your ass, coming back time and time again, and just things just never, you know, went the way that I would like. That makes this very special for me to be able to have an opportunity to play in a Super Bowl. You sacrifice it all just for these moments. I know the opportunity that's at hand. I don't take it lightly, and I'm just going to find a way to get my very best game for one more game.
All right, so there's a lot to break down there. I want to address something I said a moment ago about Stafford, but let's get into this part of it first. RC, I mean, that, you know, OBJ is someone, the LSU connection, I know how strong it is. So you've known him a really long time. Yeah. How do we put into words what we think this means for him, big picture and small?
Well, I think the biggest thing is almost redemption. OBJ has always been seen from a perception standpoint outside of the locker room as a me type of guy. And when you rise to stardom as quickly as he did in New York and you have that sort of fame and then that fall, people begin to say things about you that aren't necessarily true, but you don't get an opportunity to prove them until you start to win. And for him to consistently say to me and say to other people that winning was the number one thing, and to now be in this moment, to now have this opportunity in the Super Bowl, I think it's priceless for him. When you're a guy who, to me, was the most popular player in football, but you didn't have the substance to your career, these are the important moments. And you can see with all the adversity he's been through, how appreciative he is to have this chance.
Yeah, I'm with all of that. And that, when I say big picture and small, that there's also the very real sort of pragmatic side of this, which is that he will become a free agent. Yep. And so what does his future look like?
Well, the Rams want to explore re-signing Odell Beckham. He might price himself out because teams wanted to see if he could be close to his old self. They had questions about that in Cleveland with all the injuries. He's answered that in a big way.
Yes.
The Rams know how to use him. You know, they've gone to him early in games, gotten him involved that way. He's playing with an elite quarterback. He's blended in well there, ingratiated himself in the locker room. All those are positives that point well to free agency and him getting a big payday somewhere. But the fit in L.A. is good, so he might crave going back there. They could work something out. This is a team without much cap space, and they want to re-sign Von Miller as well. That creates some problems.
Danny, you've got some tape.
Yeah, I think RC knows this. The biggest point with Odell is he's back confident in his hands. I don't think he had that in Cleveland. I think he does now. Yeah. But I think quarterbacks will tell people what they think of receivers if and when they'll throw them footballs that they're not supposed to. And I go back to the Arizona game in the regular season. It's 3rd and 8. Odell's at the bottom of the screen. It's 2-man. Man underneath, 2 high safeties in zone. Now, you should be thinking Cooper Kupp up top in the slot. You should never allow receivers in the middle of the field. RC knows this. Cooper Kupp is the outbreaking route with safeties that have vision on him. The ball should go to Cooper, but he's not there. Matthew comes off of him. Odell should not be able to win on an in-breaking route here. Again, so often receivers do and they drift towards the safety. You got to go flat down the line. Now, if you see what Matthew Stafford looks or thinks about Odell from the back end, again, Matthew's going to be staring to the left. He doesn't throw to Cooper for some reason. He hangs in the pocket. This ball should not be thrown. It should not be completed. But the trust that he has in Odell to make that tight window throw, and Odell, the hands for him in that contested catch situation. In that moment, that was when I thought to myself, okay, Matthew believes that Odell is a guy. Mm. Like, he's a guy that he can trust in those huge moments, and that's why I think he's been such an integral part of them on this Super Bowl run.
Absolutely. And so we'll see what winds up happening there. We'll have plenty of time to talk about the quarterback matchup here. But we did bring it up earlier, Dan Orlovsky suggesting that he's not going to be at the game on Sunday night. And we were just thinking, Dan, that would be you if and when Stafford does win the Super Bowl. We're surprised you're not going. RC, didn't we think that would be him, like this jumping, you know, in celebratory fashion into Matthew's arms?
Listen, for what Dan has done for Matthew Stafford throughout the whole year, this is where Dan deserves to be. It's not at home with Tiff and the boys and with his family. It's with Matthew. It's Dan's in that out. Embrace. It's feeling his breath upon his cheek. And I am sad for Dan that he will not get that moment because he will be home with his family, being a great father and husband.
I'm sorry, I have to go to a break.
How do you guys laugh at that? Like, are you guys
we've got First Take coming up next. They're asking who should be more confident heading to the Super Bowl, the Rams or the Bengals, plus the latest on Harden. Stephen A. Molly and Michael Irvin, top of the hour here on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Get Up is presented by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network, and in part by Arby's. Arby's, we have the meat. All right, before we run, it is the traditional Monday joke from Dan Orlovsky. Danny, take it away.
I got one today, okay?
Okay.
Why don't cats... All right, why don't cats play poker in the jungle?
Why don't cats play poker in the jungle?
Too many cheetahs.
That's not bad.
Hey, pretty Fowler, good. I need more reaction on you than that, Fowler, okay?
Bravo, bro.
I like that. That was well done, good. Guys. Thank you very much. Great fun today, as always. We'll be coast to coast on ESPN Radio in 60 seconds. And here, First Take starts now.